can hear me well because I can't hear myself well. As Steve said, I had just a minor cold when I left Romania, but that with the pressure in the plane, taking off and landing, it caused me what they call an ear barotrauma, which led to a middle ear infection in both ears, and it feels like a ruptured eardrum in my right ear. So I'm like Dennis now. I can rejoice in fellowship with the same. And you know what? The good things, my house is so quiet. My car runs so smoothly. I mean, like, no noise, no squeaky brakes. My car is awesome. And I have reason to ignore people now. Not reason, but an excuse, sorry, to ignore. That was a joke, okay? Let's pray for the Word of God. It's a continuation of my last sermon here before I left for Moldova. But let's pray anyway. Lord, we thank you that today we can draw near to your Word and let your Word minister to us and allow us to be changed by you for your glory and to see this world transformed to the ministry of your church as we obey your mission. Amen. My last sermon here was based on a verse from John 12. John 12:24, that says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And we focused on this phrase, I think it was 3 weeks ago, "But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And I said back then, as we walk every day in this reality, as we bless others, as we encourage, challenge others, and as we live our lives as crucified people in whom Christ is alive, we can see the death and the resurrection and the fruit that Christ brings with us. And this mission trip I just came back this Wednesday was in many ways a fulfillment of this verse and not just this one. I want to present to you, show you guys a PowerPoint with some images from the camp, from both camps, both the youth camp and the marriage retreat, and then we'll continue with the message. Jason? Our heart for Moldova began many years ago when I was a pastor in Bucharest, Romania, of a small church called Open Heaven. And God told us that we are to give our tithe as a church to help in the ministry. So we prayed, a small church, about less than 20 people, most of them young. So we thought, Lord, show us where our money can have the greatest impact. And God just told us simply, Moldova. That was in 1999. We began to pray, and in a couple of years' time, we actually managed to connect with one pastor in a city in Moldova, in Sivcahul. And then through that pastor, we met Lucian and Svetlana, the ones that became my brother and my sister down in Badic Moldovenesc. And I ministered in Moldova in this village with my wife most of the times from 2003 until the year I came to Canada I think we went in 2015 in January. Did we visit with them? Yeah, 2015. So then I came to Canada, and things kind of stopped. And my heart was somewhat broken because so much of my heart was still down in Moldova. And we prayed, and in time, God opened a door in 2018, last year, when Grace Church Newmarket came to me and said, "Could you lead us on a mission trip somewhere where you have been before?" And I said, "Oh, yeah." I know a place and I know a people. So last year we took a small team to Moldova and we ran a day camp for youth. And a bridge was built. There was a bridge between Canada and Grace Church in Royalton Park Church and the church, Baptist Church in the village of Badicu Moldovenesc. And this year we continue to see this ministry growing as not just Grace Church in Royalton, but two more churches joined us. Two more Romanian churches joined this mission. And I want to speak about our team first. So I'll speak about our team, our youth camp, and our marriage camp. And then what's next? This is the outline of today's, if you want testimony, it's not really a message. It's more of a testimony of God's grace and God's faithfulness in ministry. If I look, I'm still jet lag. So sorry about this. For me now, it's, I mean, I've slept well, but I'm still really, my brain is only halfway here. So if I look half smart, you'll know why. So our team got a theme verse for this mission trip. And it is Luke 9, 23 and 24. If you open your Bibles to Luke 9, you can see these words of God. And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Verse 24. "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it." We took this verse as a theme verse for the whole camp, and every single morning at 7 o'clock a.m., we would wake up and gather around in the kitchen with a cup of coffee in our hands and read this verse again and pray for the day to come. And we had ample opportunities to live out these verses every single day of the youth camp. As we had 21 people, our largest team ever, 21 people from four different churches, from three different denominations, from two different continents, speaking two languages, but being one in Christ. It was a great, it was an amazing team. And I will send out pictures eventually, and I will probably show you all the team together and all the churches involved, but we had a great chance to see this verse lived out. Because it was a great camp, but not an easy one. For the youth element, we had about 42 kids, ages 13 to 20. And in the past, we've seen this youth very calm and quiet and obedient and really engaged in games and enjoying the time there. This time, not so much. Cell phones in the hand, you know, kids walking down like zombies on the campgrounds, just with their eyes on the phones, disobedient, disrespectful, defiant, you know, all the D's that we can add. Great kids, by the way, but very much like kids you actually might know from other continents. And that did not make the camp very easy. We tried to give our best. You know, we prayed, we were gracious and calm, and we guided them in all the games and activities and teaching times. But it required prayer, more than I've ever probably prayed in a youth camp before, except for the one in Saskatchewan in 2016 when we went to the First Nations camp back in Saskatchewan. We've seen growth. A team of very diverse people. I think I was probably the oldest as far as age, but we had down to, I think, 16 years old were the youngest team members. But we've all grown in this short time span. We've seen challenges, and God has allowed us to see our limits. From, for example, keeping our calm and quiet, and despite the temptations to get angry and you know, shout or yell. From the sleepless nights, you know, I average 4 hours a night. I hit the showers about 1:30 in the morning, so I probably hit the bed about 2 o'clock, and at 6:30, usually I was up to wake up everybody else and join, get together for the fellowship time for the team. So very short nights, and on these challenges, we've seen God's peace. 21 people, very diverse, not even one ever complained. You know, I was shocked in a good way to see this group of Christians coming together and serving Christ with a heart of sacrifice. We lived out Luke 9, 23 and 24, and it was just a pleasure for me to watch this young man, Nick from our church, and then the rest of the team, just growing in the Lord in ways that was just a blessing for my heart. We've got to do ministry together. We've had English lessons, we had crafts for them, we had also a Bible lesson. We taught them the I Am statements from John, the all seven I Ams in John, and it was great to see some of the kids truly taking those words to heart. And yes, we had about five or six kids that were challenging, about three or four boys and two or three girls that really posed they pushed our long-suffering limits a bit, but we did not yield. We just kept on pushing. We prayed every day. We prayed every moment. We encouraged one another, and we've seen God at work in them. We've seen the joy, like an old song said, the joy in the Holy Ghost. A quote from Romans, I think Romans. King of God is peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We've seen that as we were just wasted physically, and towards the end, actually, even emotionally, we were just, by Thursday night, we were spent, if I can say that word. And we've seen the joy of God in the midst of those things. We got together around tables. We just put our hearts, you know, open, and we prayed, and we laughed, and we joked, and we prayed even more, and we never lost that joy of the Lord. You know, have you ever seen people going through hardships and just becoming bitter, becoming frustrated, becoming angry? Well, none of that happened this mission trip, even if it was not an easy camp. I think it was Tuesday night, I think, we heard rumors from a snitch, a good snitch. A young girl that told us something would happen. Boys were about to sneak out from their rooms at 1 o'clock in the morning to come to visit the girls in their cabin. So we had to keep guard. We stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning just watching the cabins. And they tried to come out, but they saw us, and they went back in and went to sleep. And it was just, on next evening, another challenge, we experienced, for example, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Remember, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the powers and authorities," you know, and it continues there. On Tuesday night, about 11 o'clock in the evening, a large van and one more car pulled at the gate of the camp. And a bunch of 20-year-olds drunk and partying and smoking and I'm assuming doing something else too. And they wanted to come to the camp to visit their friends because one of the kids was friends with them. And we just prayed because we didn't know how to react. You know, call the police, fight them back. I didn't know. But we prayed. We stood strong. We just didn't let them come in. We smiled. We were polite. And in the end, they chose to leave with no further problems. But we actually, that night, we went to bed at 5:30 in the morning. Just in case. So this is this kind of experience that marked this camp. But all this just helped us grow and understand how much that those verses mean in Luke 9:23. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and nightly, and follow me. We lived out this verse and it was amazing. We lived out Mark 10:44 and 45, where Christ says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." As a team, not just as a team, we learned to serve. We looked around and we encouraged one to look around and just serve anyone and everyone. And we washed toilets. The toilets were very interesting. You know, the old hole in the ground, smelly pit that, you know, emanates ammonia and all gases. That's the kind of, I didn't take a picture of them. I bet you I can find them because my team was very, not enthralled, or enthralled was the English word for it, with the toilets there. But they did not complain and say, "We don't like them, but life is life." And they just smiled and laughed. And anyway, we washed those things. We put chlorine down. We washed the showers. We helped with the kitchen. We did everything we could with a smile on our face because we knew we went there to serve, not to be served. And we just put these words into life. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. The youth, let's say a few things. This is all about our team, the first section, the 21 of our team. Our youth camp, a joyous group of 42 kids, and a challenging group of 42 kids. We taught them every single day about Jesus. We opened the scriptures with them. We taught them verses in English and Romanian. It was an English camp. And we saw God work in their hearts. They had great questions for us. They had comments they brought to us. Some of them were Christians that go to the church in the village. Some of them were not. Some of them never went to church ever in their lives. Some of them were Christians they used to go to church but then walked away because of different challenges. It's a very diverse group of youth. Yeah? And we've seen amazing fellowship between us Canadians and the Romanians. I'm the mutt. I was both or neither. I'm not sure what to call myself. And we've seen closeness of hearts. You know, our hearts getting close to their hearts. We've seen all the pictures of our staff just hugging kids and praying with the kids and playing with the kids and walking with the kids and just being with them. It was great to see the fellowship that was born there and the questions and the seeds that were planted. The questions about God and the seeds that were planted. And there were struggles. Like I said, we had about four boys and three girls. Actually, that makes seven, if my math is right, of kids that were challenged. And we, first night, on Tuesday night, Monday night, we felt this close that we need to send them home. You know, just get rid of the problem, you know, free ourselves of trouble and just, you know, send them home. And two of our staff from Romania said, no, we have enough love, we have enough grace, we have enough strength to love even the toughest of the tough. And we tried every single night. We tried and we asked God to give us strength and grace and peace. And it wasn't easy, but we managed. Only the last night, two of them chose to leave. And we actually walked with them through the forest, because the camp is like in a forest on a hill about 4 kilometers away from the village. We walked with those two most rebellious kids. And as they departed, me and my friend Oti Othniel from Romania, we called them up and said, we shook hands and we asked them if we can pray for them. And we had an amazing prayer for those kids right there. And then the hugs they gave us, the most rebellious two kids, when they left the camp, after we prayed for them, a gracious, hopefully spirit-filled prayer, they gave us this love-filled hug I never expected from those boys. And I have hope that the seeds we planted, both through the Word of God and through our example, will eventually come to life. And the church in the village, we're about to bring this fruit into God's kingdom. This fruit. This is why we went there, to see God work. And we've seen God's presence and the beauty of prayer and the beauty of the presence of God. And this verse is fulfilled. Unless a grain of wheat falls into earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. In these 2 weeks, God pushed us to learn what dying to self means. For me, it wasn't theory 3 weeks ago, because I've lived this before. But this past 2 weeks made this verse so much alive. And not just for me, but all the 21 of us that went there. Anyway, it was a great youth camp. And we may not do one like that very soon, because our choice is now to invest in the church, in the village, in different ways. But that's later on a bit. The marriage retreat. I knew I was expecting first time about maybe 10 to 20 people. That was my thought. Lucian then called me saying that five more families asked to join. I said, okay, no problem. And in the end, we had a list of 23 couples. Some of them actually didn't make it, so we had about 39 people in the camp. And it was a shock on the first day. You probably have not seen, or maybe you did see the faces in for the marriage camp. It was a very diverse group. Various ages, from 20 years old to like a 75-ish, and all different stages of life. Newlyweds, people who were married for like 20 or 50 years, widowers, and people who were left by their spouses, people who were separated because of work. You know, their spouse was, Russia or Italy or somewhere working, and they experienced the stress of a broken marriage because of economic reasons. We've seen open hearts in this camp. I was skeptical, to be honest. When I saw that, I was feeling like, 20-year-olds that just began marriage and they need to learn more about God and God in the marriage. And God gave me this group of people from 20 to 75, and I was like, oh boy. But then after our first session, I've seen so much open heart and so many good questions about, let's say, about divorce, about domestic violence, about patience, about how to choose the words, how to respond with a blessing for a curse. So many questions and comments from the people there, and so many open wounds. I did not expect to see that many open wounds brought to surface with graciousness, but with tears at the same time. You know, like I said, the pain of divorce, the pain of being cheated by your husband or your wife, spouses leaving, going places where and never leaving, never calling back or leaving a sign, separation because of work, kids going astray, I mean, sickness and death, all kinds of troubles and problems and issues. But there was a beauty of God's presence. Again, God's presence in our midst made that camp amazing. We had 5 lessons and 2 Q&A times, about 7 times teaching, so it was a busy weekend for me. But it was just beautiful. It was beautiful to see the tears of the touched hearts. You know, I kind of call it a good day when I make Rudy cry here. Hey, Rudy. This is a joke. But I've seen adults, 20-year-olds and 75-year-old crying towards the end of our session, our sessions over there, because not because of pain, but because of joy. Our theme for this marriage retreat was help for today, hope for tomorrow. We kind of stole that motto from Family Life in Canada, but they won't mind, I hope. But that was our motto, help for today. You know, through advice, through the scriptures, through experiences, through testimonies, but also give them hope for tomorrow. And these people cried because they had, by God's grace, a revelation that there is hope for their marriages today and tomorrow. And at the end of the camp, on the last day, some of them just couldn't speak up because they were crying. You know, I've seen Lucian, the pastor, cry many times. I mean, the first camp ever we did there in 2003, at the end, he was just weeping when we left. But his wife was always this strong, you know, strong person, never saying, you know, always smiling, always, you know, things are great. She couldn't say a word this time. We asked her to pray, and she said, no, I ain't praying. Is that I'll be crying all for the prayer. So she chose not to. And that was the first for me to see Svetlana crying. And it was a good sign, meaning that God did work. Your prayers, your donations, your support for this ministry brought fruit for God's kingdom. Whether it's the lives of the youth that were changed or the couples who were encouraged and received hope, it was an amazing trip. And we've seen, like I said, we lived out those words of Christ. Unless a grain of wheat falls on the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. It wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy camp. It was an amazing, beautiful camp. And I'll go there in a heartbeat. I'll go back in a heartbeat if I could, because I'm not running away from hardships. If God is in the midst of the hardships, I will never run away from that. And it was just it was a blessing to be there. Now, the church in Badiku. This church began in 2001 with this one couple, Lucian and Svetlana Tabak, which means tobacco. Their name is tobacco. Anyway, her name prior was pipe. So anyway, funny names. My name means toque. So I guess Europeans have chose. And her name is feather. So anyway, I digress. The church began in 2001 when Lucian and Svetlana came back from university, becoming Christians as they were in their last years in school through Ministry of Campus Day for Christ. They came back, and the first thing they did was to open up their living room to bring people for a Bible study. And from that Bible study in 2001, a small church emerged. We met them first time in 2003, and there were like probably 15 to 20 people, most of them like high school age or lower or younger. And God worked from that moment until today, somewhere between 200 and 400 people became Christians in that church. From 0 Christians in the village, 0 Christians in the village. Now it's a thriving Baptist church in that village that has produced disciples by the dozens. And it's an amazing ministry. I wish I can take you all with me there so we can join and see Lucian and meet him and just see his heart for God. And just look around the village and see the testimony of a life spent for Christ. And I will go back by God's grace. I'm not sure when. I'll have to speak with the church, the elders, the missions board, and see where God leads us. But there is a lot of ministry there. I don't go there for camp. I do not go there for marriage retreats. I go there because of the church and a pastor who needs support and encouragement. And the tools I use are either camps or leadership development or marriage retreats. Those are just tools. But my hope is to see the church of God in that village grow stronger and Lucian, the pastor, be encouraged and equipped to bring in a lot of fruit, much fruit for God's kingdom in Moldova. So what's next? Isaiah 6:8 says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for me, for us? And I said, here am I, send me. I'm not a missionary. By definition, I'm not a missionary. I love the local church. My heart was given a long time ago to the local church. But I love to support missions. I love to support missionaries, and I like to support the local churches wherever God has, you know, brought them. And that's actually my mandate of the church, is a mandate of submission. Submission to God's call to do missions, if you want. And I want to be obedient. It's the mandate of Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, that says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. That is the mandate I want to see fulfilled in my life and our life as a church. And our commitment as a church is, has been, and will always be, to see the gospel reach the ends of the earth. So my call is to pray with us and pray for us. And as we seek God's face and his guidance for the next steps as far as missions is concerned. But let us ponder one more thought before we finish. It's going to be a short Sunday today. It says here, and I say it again, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So ministry means to deny yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. That's ministry by its definition. Missions also means that we must deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow Jesus. Discipleship. You'll hear this word a lot in the fall as we start the new season of ministry here. But discipleship means denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. Because in the end, being a Christian, what does it mean to be a Christian? A Christ follower, a disciple. What does it mean? It means to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him daily. And it doesn't have to happen in Moldova. It doesn't have to happen in Africa or who knows what distant land. It can happen here as you simply walk across the room and tap someone on the shoulder and say, hey, how can I pray for you? Or any other questions you may want to ask that person. It starts with your choice to walk across the room to reach the person God has placed in your life. So missions can happen in Moldova, and hopefully by God's grace will happen in Moldova, but it can happen here and in Scarborough. It can happen here in Toronto or in Markham or wherever you guys live, in Holland Landing for me and my wife. Missions is your choice, is my choice to take up my cross as I deny myself and follow Christ every single day. So with this in mind, I invite you again to pray for our church, because we are a church who has been committed to missions. And we pray for God's vision and God's direction as far as missions. But it's so much more than that. It's your life every day. Whether you are, you know, retired person living in Scarborough, or you are a student, or actually no, you're a graduate, you're an engineer in Hamilton. Sorry. It doesn't matter who you are. If you say, I am a Christian, the call for you is this: deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus. And as you do that, mission will happen just naturally, because God will move your heart to just walk across the room, tap someone on the shoulder and say, hey, do you know Christ? Or any other questions you might want to have for that person. Amen? We have time. Any questions? I've never done this here at this church, but any questions concerning Moldova? I hope I can hear you. My ears are muffled and my right ear thingy is drum, eardrum? The membrane is not good. So, any questions about past, present, or future when it comes to missions, or especially with Moldova? Question, Grace? No? Okay. I know our church is famous for not asking questions, not even our AGMs. Other AGMs are usually very... what does AGM stand for? No. General meetings, annual general meetings. Usually we're very quiet even on those, but any questions for me? Sam? No? Don't do this to your hair when we ask for questions, because... population officially is about 4.5 million, out of which 2 million plus are gone outside Moldova trying to find work. So half of population of Moldova is actually not in the country, which puts a high strain or huge strain on families, because husbands, you know, I know families where husband is in Russia and Moscow working, and the wife is in Italy, and the kids are in Spain, or you name it. And or lots of families where one spouse in Moldova with the kids and one spouse is gone work somewhere else. So it's a good question, Rudy, and the answer is actually pretty sad. The population is halved by economical migration, unfortunately. So it's about 2 point something right now in Moldova. It is the poorest country of Europe. It is, and we go to the poorest region of the poorest country in Europe. And they said this village we go to is the poorest village in the poorest area of the poorest nation of Europe, just to give you an idea. The national pastime in the village used to be drunkenness, vodka, and fights. Things are changing, but that was when I came there first time, that was the pastime for most of the youth, was getting drunk or getting high.
How many churches there?
I wouldn't say many. There are churches. There is a Christian presence. Not every village has a church, or at least not an evangelical church. Every village has a Orthodox church. The problem is that with that is that people have mostly a veneer of Christianity, but not a life commitment to Christ. So as far as evangelical churches, yes, there are quite a few Baptist churches and some Pentecostal churches, very few Brethren. Those are the three main denominations you can find in Moldova. In this area, for about, let's say, a 50K radius, I know three churches. So I'm not sure if that means anything. In about 20 villages, I know have probably three churches between them. So yeah, there are some Christians. Yes?
Are there other religions that are prevalent?
Atheism, no. It's either Orthodox or atheist. Being a former Soviet republic, the communists have managed to bring a lot of atheistic beliefs in the country. But I would say probably 80% to 90% would be Orthodox, and probably 1 to 2% would be evangelical, if that actually, more like 1% would be evangelical. Yes. Good question. I don't think there's any opposition from the government to receive missionaries, but you have to go there with some coverage. Usually those who come there as missionaries, like us on short term, we just come as tourists. If you want to stay there on long term, you kind of have to find a reason, like a school, business, or some cover. I don't think officially the status of missionary is recognized. But there are. I've seen a guy from England in the next village over, has a Bible school there, and he's married to a Moldovan, so he's been there for a long time. But there are not that many missionaries from outside in Moldova. You know, there are lots of short-term missions, maybe, but not long-term guys, people living in Moldova as missionaries. Not to my knowledge. I know one actually that lives there. That's not Moldovan. So not that many. A couple of Romanians have moved to Moldova, but that's easier for us as Romanians to move to Moldova. We have lots of easy passage as neighboring countries. So it's not opposition, but it's not easy either. You usually have to find some reason to be there other than missionary. Yes?
Are there any universities or colleges in Moldova? Seeing that it has such a...
there are probably at least three universities. Moldova has three major centers, north, center, and south, and each of them has a university at least. Chisinau has probably a couple of universities, a medical school and some other. So there are, and many of the, actually one problem is that many of the youth, the smartest of the youth, leave Moldova to go study in Romania or in Europe. But there are about at least three major university centers in Moldova and one Bible school that I know of in Chisinau that trains pastors. There's at least one that I know of, like a seminary type school. The only one, I think, actually. But I could be wrong. I'm not usually wrong. Much less than you would expect. I'd say the youth are trying to speak English, but by percentage, if you go to Romania, I'd say what, 80% of the youth would speak English. In Moldova, probably 5% will speak English because it's not taught in schools as often. Mostly they learn French. That's their main language to study in schools, not English. And they're trying to learn English anyway, but it's, like I said, probably 5% of the youth speak any decent English, unfortunately. Yeah, that makes our missions there a bit difficult. We were blessed with eight kids from a Brethren church in Ploiești, and they all of them, and two from Rusnov, like 10 people, they all acted as translator for us. So we had a great team that did translation for us during the camp. It was awesome, actually. It was a godsend. Okay. We miss you. There was a question, Gary, or not? No, okay. I see hands moving, and I'm not sure if it's this or it's... Okay, Rudy, one more question.
The spoken languages
are two, actually. As a former Soviet Republic, they speak a lot of Russian. Most major urban centers focus on Russian. But if you go to villages, they have either Russian villages or actual majority of what we would call Romanian villages. They speak Romanian. They call it sometimes Moldovan, but it's just as you call English in Canada, Canadian, or English in U.S., American. You can call it American or Canadian, but it's the same language, basically. The same in Moldova. They speak Moldovan, but it's just Romanian. Or we speak Moldovan, I guess, one of the. You're welcome. Okay. Let's pray right now, actually. I would like to actually ask Steve, would you please come here with me? I know it's a surprise, but I like to surprise you. And I just pray for us as a church when it comes to missions, for God to give us direction and focus and lead us where He wants us. All and right. Pray for Lucian and Svetlana, or Lucian, the pastor of the village. Lucian, right. Yes.
Dear God, we just thank you for the word we heard this morning and for the great trip that the team was able to have, and just thank you for keeping everyone safe, giving them strength. And as Adi had mentioned, it wasn't an easy trip, and we just thank you for the blessing of keeping everyone safe. And we pray for those teens that were the most rebellious ones. And Lord, we know, as Adi mentioned, that the seed has been planted, and we pray that they would remember that week, and that the things that they've learned and even heard, even though they didn't care about it, would come back to their minds later on. And so we want to continue to keep those families in prayer, and also those that attended the marriage seminar. We pray that their marriages would continue to be strengthened, that they would seek you in order to have a better marriage. Lord, we pray for Lucian and for the ministry that he has, and just thank you for the great relationship that he has with Adi and Anna, and we pray that it would continue, and we know that Satan would love that relationship to not continue, but Lord, just keep that bond of Christ being the center of that relationship strong. And we do look forward to being able to serve as a church in Moldova more, and we pray for Adi and the board and the missions committee as they start to wrestle more and more moving forward with what we should be doing as a church. And Lord, we do need to continue to do ministry here, and we thank you for the small groups and the different ways that we are ministering here in Toronto. But Lord, we have so much, and when you see and hear about these villages, not just there, but other villages around the world that have nothing, and we have so much that we can actually take time out to go and be a ministry for you. And so we pray as a church, as Addie mentioned, our church has a lot of missions emphasis, and even how this church started with the hope of continuing to support missionaries. And so I pray that each one of us would be stirred in the way that you'd want us to serve. And for some of us, it will be stepping out of our comfort zones and getting into conversations that we're not used to having with people that don't know you, and with friends that we've known for a long time, or neighbors who don't know you. And I pray that we'd be willing to take that first and second step of bringing you up in conversation. But then also being able to go cross-culturally and just learn from other Christians around the world. And so I do pray that we would, you would give us guidance, give us wisdom in knowing where to serve. And we do know that Moldova has a huge place in Addie's heart. And so I pray that we would continue to want to serve there. And again, it may not be the same every year of what the camp would look like, but just start preparing people's hearts and start giving Addie and the board wisdom and how they should go in the future. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks.
No problem.